Welcome to the FishExplorer.com's Fly Fishing Podcast. This is a show where we talk about everything from how to fish, where to fish, what to fish for, and whatever else we want to talk about. We will talk to the legends of fishing, guides, fishermen, and anybody else who wants to talk fishing. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Good morning, afternoon, evening to everybody out there in Fish Explorer land. This is Tim Fishman Emery. I am the host of the fishing podcast here on FishExplorer.com. If you're finding us on the web for the first time or the second time or the third time, make sure you check out our website at www.FishExplorer.com. We are the best source for your fishing information in Colorado, soon to be expanding. And we've got some added new features coming online here in the next couple weeks. We're going to have a video section, which is going to be really cool, with some informational videos and some fun videos. So you'll have to check that out. My special guest today is a long, long time friend of mine who is one of the up and coming stars in the fishing world. He is actually, on the business side, a fishing consultant, which is really cool. He is the one who taught me how to cast. This was 9-10 years ago or something like that. Taught me how to double haul and really cast, and unfortunately now I can only cast about 90 feet, but he had me at one time casting about 100 and 105, but, you know, things get old and crickety and so forth. But his name is Banning Collins. Banning, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to hear that you can also retain the knowledge that that you learned 9-10 years ago.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing now. So, Banning, you are a fishing consultant, so you work with a bunch of different companies. But right now, and we'll get into that fishing consultancy aspect a little bit later, but right now, you used to live in Vail. You grew up fishing for Collins and so forth and Vail, and that's where I met you, was in the Vail Valley. But now you're living in Austin, Texas, probably for really one reason, and it's not the fishing, is it?
Well, if you ever go to Texas, Austin's a great spot to go.
Yeah,
we have a lot of the fishing opportunities down here that are year round. We do have some trout fishing on the Guadalupe, which is one of the southernmost trout streams in the United States.
I'm going to interrupt you before you get too serious on me, because
I was
talking about your trolling aspects on the local bars at the University of Texas.
We do have 50,000 undergrads here at University of Texas, and the Texas women are quite eye candy, I guess would be one way to say it. And there is a neat fishery down here right in downtown with a great jogging trail around, so called Lady Bird Lake. So you can go fishing for multiple species.
Yeah. Remember, I now have two children. One of them's 2 weeks old, and, you know, I have to live vicariously through you young single guys.
Well, and Austin's a great place to do it.
All right.
So
let's get back to the serious stuff about fishing Texas and fishing Austin especially, because I've seen your picture in Southwest Fly Fishermen a lot lately of you fishing ponds, or I guess they're tanks that you call them, and then fishing that Lady Bird Lake. Tell us a little bit more about that fishing in and around Austin.
Well, in Austin, we're in central Texas, and in the kind of a unique part of Texas. It's right on the edge of the world's largest artesian aquifer. So we do have a lot of streams that are all spring-fed, and there's a lot of smaller streams and rivers that are all within about an hour to 2 hours from Austin. We're right on the edge of it. So majority of the fishing around here is going to be warm water. A lot of bass fishing, and there's some great opportunities for white bass and striper in some of the reservoirs in these streams. We have not only largemouth bass, but we have our native species of the Guadalupe bass that hangs out in some moving water, and then also some great smallmouth fishing. The tanks, they call them tanks down here in Texas. They're just ponds on ranches and such that are generally get stocked and managed with bass and some carp as well. So, you know, it's a lot of variety. We have some other unique smaller species that are fun to catch, like a Rio Grande perch, which is actually also known as a Texas cichlid. And then from here, you know, we got a great trout stream, and the largest trout unlimited chapter is just south of here on the Guadalupe River, where any day you go out during the winter time is mainly the fishing, from starting in late November, going in through all the way through March, April, and even May. You got a great chance of hooking up a 20-inch rainbow in that anytime you go out there. And then the coast, the Texas coast, is 3 to 3.5 hours away, where not only is it famous for red fishing, we got great jacks, and we're seeing a surge of tarpon coming in as well, either along the beaches or in the jetties, or just inside the jetties as well. So we got a growing snook fishery that is coming up in South Texas. So, you know, we get a wide variety of fishing down here, and a lot of it is, you know, year-round. We really don't have a winter down here. Summers can be tough, which is pretty much late July and August. But otherwise, you know, we're out in the water pretty much any day we want to go.
That's really cool. Now, how far, and you come back and forth to Denver a lot because you spend a lot of time here. How far is it from Denver on a plane, and then how long is the drive?
You know, there's so many direct flights from Austin because it's such a growing town that it's really easy to get anywhere. There's a lot of direct flights from Austin to Denver. It's a two-hour flight. So you leave here and you arrive there in 2 hours. And then on a drive from Austin to Denver is going to be 15 hours.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. Anywhere I can drive or fly in 2 hours is a great thing. So you've got a lot of fishing, and you've got Lady Bird Lake, which was one of the features in Southwest Fly Fisherman recently, which is just right in the heart of town. What kind of techniques are you using to catch those bass and those other fish on those lakes?
You know, there's kind of two ways to go about it. In the definitely floating lines and low light situations, you can definitely get them on top water. Or also going down to using a floating line and get down to about, you know, fish effectively about, you know, 4 to 5 feet down. A lot of styles that we use to catch the large bass, unlike trout, where a lot of large trout are caught on really small flies, bass are somewhat a little bit different. Big bass are attracted to big stuff. So when going after, you know, the large bass that are going to be, you know, trying to get above a 5-pound bass or something like in that area, we're going to be using a lot of times sink tip lines, anything but between a teeny 200 and a teeny 300, and we're tying just straight 30-pound test leaders on there, fluorocarbon leaders about a couple feet in length, 3 feet in length, and sending something down to the bottom. A lot of crayfish imitations. The bass are a fish that don't eat anything that is dead. They wanted something alive. So really looking at good cover. They're an ambush predator. So we're looking for good cover if they're up by the banks or rocks, anything like that. Definitely a depth finder is something that is very helpful to be able to see, you know, someone all the way down to about, you're fishing effectively down to 10 feet. So to find that sort of structure and also find the drop-offs, really kind of a structure-oriented fish with rocks, sticks, and logs, and also the contours of the you know, lake bottom.
You know, and we're talking about this from your perspective in Texas, but I think that holds true for the Colorado bass. I don't think they're any different here than they are down there.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, the bass have a lot of the same characteristics no matter where you go. And so a lot of the bass fishing that I do, it's going to vary throughout the season. You're looking at water temps, and I think on larger reservoirs, air pressure in the moon phase can play a part in it, on the larger reservoirs. But, for bass, you're really trying to look at what the conditions are, to find out where they're going to be. And, you know, right now it's the beginning of September. We're still in the midst of the summer doldrums where, right now we're going to be fishing early morning, late in the evening. It's hot down here. It's been a hot, dry, dry year down here. So, we're going to be fishing late in the morning, early in the evening, and fishing lighter colors. You know, kind of three main colors that I look for in bass flies. I want something light, something in the middle, and something dark. And so, you know, something in the white color or chartreuse or yellow, another one in a black or a dark purple. And then something else that's going to be, something in between, like an olive, a light color olive, sort of color in there.
Now, and this starts bringing me into a perfect point because the weather up here has been pretty wet and really cooler than normal. I don't think we've hit 100 degrees yet this year, and I don't think we're going to. So the fish have definitely been active all year round, which has been good, and the reports have been coming in really good. So we're kind of out of that summer phase and starting the fall phase because our fish are going to start eating pretty hard and heavy here quickly.
Yeah, I've heard some great things coming out of the Front Ranges from old buddies up in Denver and Fort Collins. You know, a lot of the striped bass, the white and the wipers, the mix between a striped bass and a white bass. I think that there's been a lot of reports that have been coming out, and a lot of friends have been having a lot of fun up there.
Yeah, it's perfect time. So, that brings me into part of your fishing consultant because you work with a couple different companies, and one of them is Freedom Hawk, which is a kayak. And one of the things about that I found bass fishing with ponds and so forth in the Front Range area is it's hard to get to some of these places if you're on the bank because not all the ponds are designed for fishing and have grass right up to them. So, to get in the weeds and the cattails and stuff like that. So, the Freedom Hawk kayak, which I've now seen a couple times. I saw him at ICAST and really saw him up close because when I first saw him, I didn't understand him. I saw that they have this flare system that opens the back up to stabilize it. They have a pulling platform that you can stand up on, a bar that you can lean on. So they're a perfect fly fishing kayak. But tell us a little bit more about that Freedom Hawk kayak.
Well, the root of it is, and, you know, no matter if you're fly fishing or conventional fishing, you simply see more details of the water in the bottom if you're able to stand. Mm-hmm. So the ability to stand up is a huge bonus and a great attribute. You know, you can look at the extreme, going down to the tarpon fishers or even offshore guys. They're trying to get up as high as they can. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same principle. Just being able to stand up and also being able to get around effectively is a huge bonus, if you're on a river or a lake, conventional fishing or fly fishing. So, kayaks have a great attribute to them. They are easy to get around in. They move well through the water. And they move pretty quickly without a whole lot of effort. And, you know, a lot of them now are, you know, self-powered. So you can easily tow them around or put them on the roof rack or the back of the truck. And they're hard shells, so they're very durable. And then Freedom Hawk came out with, they have, two styles now. They have a 14 footer. And now they also have a 12 footer where the pontoons, they spread out, but, to stand up in stability. But they also stay parallel with the boat, even improving its tracking while you're standing up, either pulling, and you can ask, and I paddle a lot while I stand up, looking for those drop-offs, looking for, you know, in the springtime when bass are on their spawning beds, mm-hmm. and you've got to be standing up on them because you're keeping that fly or lure right on their spawning bed for quite some time until you could really aggravate them and get them to take.
Yeah, and I think the kayaks are even great here in Colorado because you can go sight fish for carp and find the carp in the shallows rooting around, which has become very popular out here, which, you know, I've been doing a lot of this year, and it is a blast. I love the carp fishing out of the mm-hmm. kayaks. And, you know, even the dry fly fishing for trout and so far and so forth in some of the big reservoirs, it's easier to get to because, you know, I have a belly boat, a U-boat, and I'm down on the water level, and I can't see anything. So, mm-hmm. you know, this kayak idea is really something that's very intriguing to me.
They're hugely popular down here. You know, it's kind of these open sit-on-top style kayaks have been really popular, you know, in the salt water, and also in the lakes and rivers around here, both for fishing purposes and a lot of recreation.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, even on moving water such as rivers, they can do some of that too, you know, on flat water. And there's a lot of different accessories that you can put onto it, to control your drifts. If you're in a lake against the wind, you do have an anchor to keep yourself in one spot. There's a lean bar on it, which is, you know, kind of making sure you stay upright and on the boat, and just kind of gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling in your stomach that you're going to be on the boat. And so, and you're able to have all your gear around and move around quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the key. And then another big thing that is going on in Colorado is the zebra mussels. You know, they're entities that are deciding whether to allow boats and bigger boats into their lakes because they're scared of the zebra mussels. And it seems like the personal pontoons and the personal float crafts that you can carry in are a lot more attractive to these entities that will allow you to bring those in case the zebra mussel does come out in the next couple of years to be really a huge problem. Some of these lakes may close themselves down. I know Boulder Reservoir, I believe, has closed itself down to boats besides handheld boats. So, and I might be wrong on that, but that is one of the key to getting one of these kayaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, it's amazing how much more environmentally knowledgeable that the anglers are this, you know, even compared to, you know, 10 years ago, when whirling disease started, kind of coming more onto the mainstream scene. And we have to all make a somewhat of a concerted effort to, you know, do what each of us can do to make sure that we somewhat control or hopefully would, in a perfect world, stop or reduce the spread of, you know, these invasive species.
Right, right.
And to have something that's easy to clean and easy to take care of and tough, I mean, that makes it easier on us and more able for people to kind of take care of their gear.
Right,
For the good results.
Right. All right, so fishing consultant Banning Collins, Temple Fork fly rods and Temple Fork spin rods, or Temple Fork's coming out with some spinning rods, as I've heard, and I saw them at the ICAST show as well. And you guys, Temple Fork just signed Gary Loomis to design their spinning rods, right?
Yeah, yep. That's been really exciting. I mean, just fantastic to have him aboard and all of his knowledge and his experiences, even and more so that a lot of people don't recognize is all of his technical manufacturing and construction techniques. He's an incredible asset, and we're just extremely happy to be working with him. TFO, we make all of our own rods. And we've had a set of spinning and some bait casting travel rods, which are three-piece.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary Loomis is going to be designing our designing a series of spinning and bait casting rods for both freshwater and saltwater. That we I held some of those a couple weeks ago and they're sharp looking rods. They're sharp looking rods. The and it's all, and all of these are going to stick with the with TFO's motto of, you know, having a high performance stick with and keeping at an affordable price. So believe it or not, these spinning and bait casting rods will be at under $100.
That's fantastic. So TFO is one of those great products coming out. You also have William Joseph's waders and tools and bags and so forth. What's William Joseph up to right now?
Yeah, I think that it's one of the most exciting things about my job is working with a lot of these products that are making our time on the water better and more fun. William Joseph is definitely one of those companies. They have the last year they introduced the Mag Series packs, which is a magnetic, a completely sealed magnetic clothing around the entire opening of their various bags and pouches. And then they have a new Hike Series coming out, which is a waterproof series of bags, and different styles. And it's going to be a little bit different than what's on the market right now, especially with as regard to the design of them. They're kind of a high design company, and kind of have something that will be able to match, you know, most any angler, both conventional and fly. So they got a great, the clippers that they have and the hemostats kind of set them apart from what's been standard on the market as well. They're bright orange. The clippers, big thumb and foregrip on the clippers, so it's easy and soft rubber and somewhat of a sticky rubber as well.
Fan.
So they're those guys are always thinking out there in Utah. They're always thinking out there.
That's some great stuff. Hey, Bandy, we're running out of time, but I know you're coming up to Denver next week for the Fly Fishing Retailer Show, so we're going to get together and hang out and drink some beers like we always do, and hopefully you don't get me in trouble.
That's my whole goal, buddy.
I know. It's my 1 week out of the year that I get to become a child again, so or a juvenile, I should say. But
looking forward to it.
If people want to get a hold of you and want to come down in Texas, you guide some in Texas, or you have contacts in Texas, so you can take care of everybody anywhere in Texas. But how do they get a hold of you?
I do have a website. It's www.classv.net, C-L-A-S-S-V as in Victor, .net. Or give me a call. Area code 512-663-1053. Be happy to answer any questions or help anybody out that needs it.
And this has been fantastic. It's always a pleasure to talk to you because all the good memories we had back in the day. But it's fun. We'll see you next week. And hopefully if people will come out, find you, and anybody going to Texas, we got to call Banning. So, Banning, I appreciate your time, and we will talk to you soon.
And the most congratulations to you and your bride on your two beautiful kids, man.
Thanks. It's gonna keep me it's gonna keep me old, get me old very quick, and then they'll keep me young after that.
That's right.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
I'm looking forward to it, Sam. Thank you.
I'll tell you what, if you ever get a chance to fish with Banning Collins, he is an amazing fisherman, a really nice guy, an amazing guide, and just one of the cool kids I have met in this industry. So go out there, check him out. ClassV.com is his website. So going on right now up in the mountains, the fishing is turning into fall, which is a great time of year to fish. You know, one good and bad of this time of year is, at least for Fish Explorer, is that a lot of people go hunting. So the Fish Explorer traffic is not as busy, but that also means the rivers are a lot quieter. You don't see as many people, which is good. So a lot of guys are going hunting. They put away their fishing stuff. I don't know why. I just think they ought to do both. But, you know, I'm not a hunter, so I can't really argue with them in any case. But the fishing is great. The hoppers are out. The fish are rising. There are caddis still on the water and not as prolific as they are in the spring, but they're there. The blue wings will start coming on. The nights are getting longer, so the fish are really going to start realizing they got to eat, and they got to eat fast. So the browns get hungry. The browns get aggressive. This is the time of year where you can start throwing a big mice pattern at night and stuff like this. In fact, sometime here in the next month, I got invited on a trip with Jifa Glyman and the ColoradoFlyFisherman.com team, and we went up, fished the Taylor at night, had an amazing night. It was god darn cold, but I caught 20 some odd fish, including a 24 inch brown on a stimulator that I was swinging at night. Yes, a stimulator swinging sunken at night. It was fantastic. So know that is going to be happening up there in the mountains. On the Front Range, the fishing is fantastic. The carp fishing on the South Platte is still great. Sometime here in the next month or two, that'll kind of slow down. Depends on what happens to the water and what happens to the temperatures. But right now, the sight fishing for carp is fantastic. The lake fishing is great. The wipers are starting to come up to the surface again. Everything's starting to get ready for this winter bite. So get out there. Make sure you figure that out. We'll be at the Fly Fishing Retailer Show next week. We'll give you an update in the next couple weeks about what we see in the fly fishing industry and what we see as cool. So in the meantime, make sure you keep checking fishexplorer.com out. Call all your friends. Tell them about it. Tell them to upgrade to FXR Plus. It's only $39 a year, and it supports the site, and we can use all the help we can get. And also, if you want to know about advertising opportunities on Fish Explorer, make sure you check us out. Any questions or comments about this podcast or anything else, please email me at tim@fishexplorer.com. In the meantime, we'll talk to you next week, and make sure you get out there and go fishing.